So let's have a look at some examples. Okay? Examples sometimes explain things better than results themselves. Okay, so to make things as simple as possible, I start with one-dimensional examples. Okay? So, very easy problems. The function we want to minimize is a function of a single variable, which I called t there, and it is t to the fourth power minus t times t squared plus t. Okay. So this is the function of m. So this is the graph of the function. Okay. So as t goes to plus or minus infinity, the function goes to plus infinity. And then it behaves this way. Okay. As two minima, these values are not the same. One is a local minimum and the other is a global minimum. I think this is the global and this is the local minimum. Then I will zoom a little bit. And then there's also a local maximum here. Okay? Simple. Since we want to find where the gradient is zero, the gradient is the derivative. This is a polynomial of fourth degree. The derivative is a polynomial of third degree. And it is zero, well, in 3 points. Okay? 1, 2, and 3. I just want to show this kind of example, not because they are difficult to solve, but because you can have a nice view of the things. I mean, these are pretty easy to solve. So I zoom a little bit in our region of interest, which is minus 3, 3. So you see, yeah, now you see a bit better than this is the global minimum and this is just a local one. I start the method from a point. Let's say I start from, what's this? Let's say I just start from this point, t0 equals 1.5. Okay? So this is the function, which we see is not convex. Okay? And, well, what do I do? I replace the function with quadratic approximation, which is this function here, which is, so quadratic approximation, just one variable is a parabola. Okay? So the vertex of the parabola is somewhere here. So when you compute the Newton step, this is bad because you don't see, you get to some point here. Okay? You compute, you have the new point, you move into the new point, which I'm sorry, it's very good. It's out of the box. Yeah, I move to the new point, somewhere here. I take the function and I take, once again, it's quadratic approximation, so I will get, I hope, yeah, we see it, okay? We take the function is here, we take the new point, the new quadratic approximation is this parabola here, so we minimize it, and Newton's step brings up to the vertex of the parabola, so we get to this point here. Okay? So it means that the new value is here. So we want to approximate the function there. The new quadratic approximation is this one. You take Newton's step, which brings you to the vertex of the parabola, once again. So you arrive here and so on. This is the new point and you go on. Okay? After some iteration, you ended up in some point, and yes. Oh, the grid. So this is the point, and this is the value of the function, and the gradient is roughly zero. Okay, I mean it's. I decided to stop the algorithm not when the gradient is zero. You always have to take a threshold whenever the norm of the gradient, in this case the absolute value, is below 10 to the minus 2. I took here. Okay. Let's start from a different point. Let's start, for instance, from 1, okay? Did I make some? Oh, sorry. No, we need... Sorry, did a little mistake. I didn't close the picture, so it's going to keep 1 above the... No, this is not it. Okay, it's exactly the same we had before, same function. We start from this point here. Okay, I take the quadratic approximation. This time, what do you notice? That the parabola which provides the quadratic approximation is concave. Okay, in the vertex you have a maximum and not a minimum. Okay. Here, indeed, it depends on the second-order derivative, okay, on the Hessian matrix. So, when you do a Newton step, you're actually maximizing this quadratic approximation, but you don't mind. You go here, you get a new point. You have a new quadratic approximation, which once again is a concave parabola. You move here to the vertex, and you keep repeating. Okay, you ended up. You ended up in the local maximum. Okay, so. This is an example where Newton method does not converge to a minimum point. Okay? It goes to, it is attracted by local maximum. Okay? So, interesting remark, Newton method converges to stationary points, but they are not necessarily minima. Let me try once again the same method. I mean, now you should have understood how it works. Let's start from minus 1.5. So I don't describe you the steps. Initial point, quadratic approximation, I minimize, I get out in this area, I get that type. Now, in the new point, the quadratic approximation is this one. Notice, it is not a good approximation of the function, okay? But it works all the same. The new vertex is there, so I get the new point here, I get the new approximation, and so on. This is what Newton method does, okay? Is it clear? Is the example clear? Okay. I replace the function with its quadratic approximation. Since we are in one variable, it's a parabola. The Newton step takes me to the vertex of that parabola, and I get a new approximation. This is what Newton does. In one dimension, in two dimensions, in n dimensions. In one, it is easy to see it, because you just have to draw a graph of a simple function and parabolas.
I decided to, so we have seen three cases. In the first case, it went to the local, to a local minimum. The second case, it got to a local maximum. And in the third case, it got to the global minimum. Okay. I can run, how it is it called? Here. I run the algorithms for, I cannot say all, for a sample of points on the line. Agreed. And this is the result. So it takes some time, I think. Okay. Here you have the starting point. So the local minimum is green. The local maximum is black, and the global minimum is red. And here you have, if I start from a point here, I get green, I get to the local minimum here. If I start from this point, I get to the local maximum, and so on. Okay? Please notice that something strange here happens. I am much closer to the green minimum rather than to the red one. But if I start from this some point here, I will end up in here. Because I start here, the quadratic approximation is parabola done this way, and I end up in this valley. Okay? So, it's not very easy to understand where you end up. Okay? And so here, somehow this is the neighborhood guaranteed by the theorem. Okay? You have some further points, but a neighborhood means a whole set of points around the given one. So this is the neighborhood given by the theorem from this, for this green minimum, and this is the one for this red local minimum. Okay? And this is one is for the maximum, which, as I told you, since the theorem actually requires the Hessian matrix to be invertible and not positive, that is how we make it, it may happen that you converge to a local maximum. Okay? And also, it may happen, we had some example before, that the first iterations are not the same. We will see them back in other examples. I'll leave you an example as an exercise in one variable, so it's easy. Okay? The same level of difficulty. The function is this one. C to the fourth power minus 5t cubed minus 4 times t squared minus 2. Okay? You can try to run some iterates of Newton method by hand, or you can code it in any language you like it best. Okay? I mean, the approximations are always parabola, so you can write the vertex by a formula. Remark, this function has two stationary points. Okay. One is a global minimum and one is a saddle point. It means that if you move in one direction, you get up, you move in the other direction, you get down. Here the function is flat, the derivative is zero, but here you increase and in this direction you go down. Okay. You should tell me, okay, but if I take the derivative, I get a first degree polynomial. So, algebra tells me that real solution, okay, should be one or three. While I told you that we have two stationary points. The fact is that
If you write this polynomial, it has this form. One of the two zeros has multiplicity equal to 2. Okay? So don't worry if that comes up. You should say, oh, this has one solution. No, this should have one or three, but I find two. Don't worry because two are going two point five. Okay?
So I can just give you, let's see. This is the graph of the function, okay, roughly. Here you have the global minimum, and here you will have the saddle point. Here you go up, and here you go down, but the derivative is zero. I want to show you, oh, now I have to close. To show you something a little bit more complex, and I'm going back to this function of two variables, I highlighted there, which is Rosenbrock function, the so-called banana function, which is a function of two variables, and the function is 100 times the square of x2 minus x1 squared plus x1 minus x1 squared. Okay? We use this a lot, this function, we use it a lot as a test function. This is a non-convex function where you have, that looks like a canyon. Okay? There is this canyon which has these rounded shapes and then the function goes up very fast. Okay? And we know that the minimum point is x1 equals x2 equals 1. Because you are adding two squares, so the best you can get is to have both to be zero. And this is zero if x1 is x1. And if x1 is 1, this is zero when also x2 is 1. Okay? So we know that this function is always greater or equal than zero, and it is zero if and only if x1 equals x2 equals 1. Okay? So this is the global minimum. And we've seen this function a lot. We tested the gradient method, and the gradient method was very slow, okay? Because the level curves were very thin, and so the step size were shorter and shorter, and you were bouncing this way, okay? And it was taking thousands of iterations to converge, and then we've seen the conjugate gradient method that keeping track of previous direction was somehow no longer moving this way, but was able after a few iterations to follow the curvature in the canyon. Okay, and was so I want you to show Newton methods applied to this to this type of function. Okay, and I want you to show you some behavior. So, okay, let's start for instance from 0, 0. These are a few of the level curves. To be faster, I asked the computer not to draw too many. So this is the canyon where the level curves have the shape of a banana. Okay, around the minimum point. You start from 0, 0, you apply Newton method, and you are very lucky in two iterations you get to the solution. First remark is the following. The first iteration is not a descent iteration. Here you are inside the canyon, and here you are on the hill surrounding the canyon. If you look back Here, you start from here, 0, 0, and you end up here.
So the first iteration is not a descent iteration,
but then the second and last one is, and you actually find the solution.
Okay. So this is a two-dimensional example in which Newton method is not a descent method from the start, but it becomes so after. Well, here after one iteration, okay? But after a finite number of iterations. Let's start from another point. Let's start from, for instance, 0,5, 0,5. We are already in the canyon. The algorithm goes this way. It's reasonably fast, not amazing, but it follows the curvature of the canyon and it goes to the solution. Okay? Oh, we have been lucky because we know that for the theorem, the method converges if you are in a neighborhood here. Okay? So, for instance, if we start from a point which is, let's say, let's try -2, 1. Let's try this point, okay? And let's see what happens. What did I tell you? -1? -1, 2? Okay, let's try this one. Okay, this is not going well. Because you started here and then you're going along the canyon in this direction. And we know, if you compute the derivatives here, that you can do it again as an exercise. The unique stationary point of this function is the point 1, 1. Okay? You get two equations and the unique solution is 1, 1. No other. So it's failing. Okay? We are not close. So it is consistent with theory. Okay? It's not a trouble. We are outside the neighborhood of convergence. So I should be happy when I start close. So if I take 0.09, I'm very close to the solution. And indeed it converges. But actually I don't have much information on how the neighborhood is done, because let's try 1.1. Sorry. Okay. So 1.1, 0.9, 0.9 is here and 1.1 is here, same distance. Very close, the algorithm fails, goes up. Okay? So it's close, but it's not in the neighborhood given by the theorem. Okay. I can even try, okay. Let's try 1.01, 1.01. It fails again. Okay? Don't expect it to go up there and then come back. Okay? We will stay here losing time. So you should understand how that radium is, and luckily if I add another zero here after the point, this works. Okay, one iteration, it's fine. And so I spent some time yesterday afternoon. I made a grid on the whole square, and in green, where it is? It is here. Okay. In green you have points from which it converges to 1.1. Okay? And in red you don't have. and I took it from 0.9 to 1.1. Okay? So if you want a ball around the point, the ball is very, very small. Okay? However, this ball is getting a bit bigger, clear your face. Okay? So this is an extreme way to look at the it's an extreme example of how bad it could be the neighborhood, okay, that we have in the theorem. Okay, close. But it's hard to identify how much close. Okay? I mean, this is relatively far. I mean, it's far with respect to this one, very far. But if I start here, I convert. If I start here, I do not. Okay? So, keep in mind this is an extreme example of the local behavior of the Newton method. Okay? You are only guaranteed to converge if you start close enough to a minimum point. But close enough is extremely hard or almost impossible to identify precisely. Okay? There's one thing we never checked. I told you that the Hessian matrix in the iterate had to be invertible, or even better, to go to a minimum point positive definite. Okay? Well, we didn't check it here. Okay? You can check it by hand. It's not a difficult computation. You have to take the second order derivatives. You have a two by two matrices, the four second order derivatives, and you can compute the gradient, but you can compute the determinant or the eigenvalues, but I did it here. Okay? So that we can check it by our own. How is its name? SF. Okay. So if I take the function, if I take this matrix in the solution, this matrix is this one. Okay. And MATLAB is nice, I can compute easily the eigenvalues of small matrices. So the eigenvalues are this one. Okay. Here you have 1,000 multiplying, so here you have to erase 3 zeros. This is 0.4 and this is 1,000. Okay. So this is true because the eigenvalues are positive. One is rather small and the other is big, very big, which is not a good news, but okay. We are inside the framework of Newton-Raphson theorem. Well, let's take another very easy example of two variables. The function is x1 squared plus x2 to the fourth power. Okay. Let's compute the gradient. So derivative with respect to x1 is 2x1, first component of the gradient. Derivative with respect to x2 is 4 times x cubed. Now we take the Hessian. The Hessian is, okay, we take the derivative with respect to x1, which gives 2. We take the derivative with respect to x2, we get 0. Here we take the derivative with respect to x1, we get 0. We take the derivative with respect to x2, we have obtained 12 times x2 squared. Okay? And which is the minimum point here? You can tell me. It's a square plus the fourth power, two positive terms, so 0, 0. Okay? If you take the Hessian matrix in 0, 0,
what you get is 2 0 0 0. Okay? This is not invertible, the eigenvalues are 2 and 0. So we are not inside the framework problem with here. Actually, the eigenvalues are these two. So they are positive whenever x2 is different from 0. Okay? But formally, we are not in the framework. And that's perfect. So you can try to apply the method all the same and look what it happens. So exercise 4.4. Okay? Try to apply Newton method here. You can do a couple of iterations from any starting point and see what it happens. I've drawn you another example, which is very similar. Okay, so I have the picture here, and the situation is similar. The Hessian matrix has 0 as an eigenvalue whenever x1 is equal to x2. Okay? You can check it as an exercise, simple exercise of calculus. Okay, we are not in the framework. What can we do? Okay. I have here okay. Here you can see somehow the example. I make it run. Oh, and it works. Here, check it once again. The solution, the median point is once again 0, 0. Okay? I'm cheating a little bit on you, because this is not the problem I solved. Let me try to solve the problem. So I need to go here. Here. I cheated on you because to solve the problem I should have taken this and not this one. I repeat it. Now I'm applying Newton methods there, exactly. Let's join. It gets mad. Okay? And he is right to get mad, because he's saying matrix is singular. What can I do when the matrix is singular? Or there's also written, it's very bad, or close to singular, or very badly scaled. Okay? He gets mad. It doesn't solve it. Indeed, we don't feel bad because we know that we are outside the framework of the Newton method. So, I mean, I have some results. I try to apply to problems which do not fit in our assumption. It doesn't work. It may happen. Okay? It's also somehow reasonable that it happens. So, check what I did. I slightly I slightly modified it. Okay. I added the term So I added to f. Five times x1 squared plus x2 squared. Okay. If we take the derivative of this, this is 10 times x1 x2. If we take the Asian, it's 10 times the identity, because when I take the derivative with respect to x1, I get 1. With respect to x2, I get 0, and vice versa here. Okay, so when I'm considering this function, the Asian matrix is the old Asian plus 10 times the identity matrix. Okay, because I've added these two terms, and notice, I did not change the problem, because the minimum of this problem is exactly the same, because this gets minimized for x1 equals 0, and this gets minimized for x2 equals 0. Okay. And this, so I have four terms which I have. Each of them is zero if and only if x1 and or x2 is zero. Okay. So it is zero zero is the unique minimum also of this function. What is this, the difference? That in my example, this f is positive semi-definite. So I could not apply our result because the Asian matrix was not invertible, was not positive definite, was just positive semi-definite. I add this term, which is a number of times the identity matrix. Okay? Now the new eigenvalues are the eigenvalues of this matrix plus 10. Because the eigenvalues here are both 10. So, they were greater or equal to 0 and one of them was 0, so now the smaller of them is 10. So this matrix is positive definite. Adding this term, I moved from a positive semi-definite Asian to a positive definite Asian. And now I'm in the framework of the theorem. So when I ran this here you have the I computed the gradient of the Asian just to avoid the program to compute them by making finite differences. I gave them so that it was more accurate. Oh, sorry. When I ran it, it worked. Because now I'm once again inside Newton's framework. Okay? Why it's not going? Is that picture I'm sending away? Okay, we should get the picture now. This trick is standard, okay? It's not something... I don't understand why I don't get the picture. No, quella non è... La posso scommentare, ma li avevo cancellati, quindi... Forse non avevo salvato? Maybe I did not say that. Okay, you have already seen it before. Okay, that it was going to, that it was working. Oh, here it is the figure now. No? You show it. Here, you see it works. Okay? Then I could try to identify the neighborhood and so on. But what I want to point out to you is this standard technique. Okay? This term is often called a regularizing term. Okay? If you have a problem in which your Asian matrix is positive semi-definite, you are dealing with convex functions which are not strictly convex, for instance. You can add this term and the new problem as a positive definition. Okay? In this very simple case, the two problems are equivalent. Okay? In general, it is not so. The problems are not equivalent. Okay? And this type of you can use methods in this way. You add the regular Lagrangian term. Okay? You make a new. You are in a current point. Okay? Here. You make a Newton set for this function, which you can do, the original plus the regularizing term, and you get to some new point. Okay? But you are minimizing the quadratic approximation of this function, not the original function. There might be a meaningful difference. So the idea is to perform a line search on the original function f on this segment. Current iteration plus, let's say, it's k hat given by Newton for the regularized function. And on this segment, you perform in a line search, in inexact line search, for the original f. Okay? I mean, I just want to give you the idea, I don't want to give you the details, it's just to know that you can apply Newton methods also in case of convex functions, for instance in this way, okay? You regularize and then you perform a line search on the original function. This goes under the name of inexact Newton methods. If you look on textbooks, you can find results about properties, about convergence. I just want you to give the idea. Okay? The idea of adding these type of terms is exploited a lot in optimization. Okay? Essentially, we are moving from a convex function to a strictly convex function. Actually, to a strongly convex function, but we did not discuss this class of functions. Okay? So I think we are done with Newton, with Newton method. On Tuesday, I will deliver a standalone lecture on a completely different class of methods. Up to now, we always used derivatives. Okay? And one issue we did not deal with is that the fact that you have to compute derivatives. Okay? In this very simple example, we can compute derivatives by hand. Okay? In all these files I wrote down, and you can write down very easily as well, I computed the derivative by myself. In general, you cannot compute the derivative by yourself because functions are complex, so maybe you know the values of the function through a black box. Okay? You give the point and the black box gives you the value, but you don't know the expression. Or the expression is the result of a complex operation, okay? Which is not described by simple linear, quadratic, or trigonometric and exponential terms. So I will give you a lecture on methods which do not require derivatives. Okay? It is a new area of research which is called the free derivative method. So, the fact is that generally they are very simple, and the method I will show you is extremely simple, but generally you cannot prove much. Okay? So they are some kind of a heuristic method. Okay? They are easy, you can implement them, but you have no guarantee that they work.
Okay, so we'll see you on Thursday morning.